Made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. People ask if you had a good day. If you enjoy the presence of the Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. If you've got your Bibles with you or your cell phones, I'd like you to turn to our theme scripture for the series that we started. This is the second week called His People, His Purpose. I'd like us to read together from Ephesians chapter 4. And from verse 16, when you're there and your Bible's open or your cell phone is at that scripture, I want you to say, "Preach it, Pastor." And if you're not there, say, "Please wait." Okay. Ephesians, you get Genesis, Exodus, Ephesians. Who got that? Didn't say anything in between. Genesis, Exodus, Ephesians. You get Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. This particular scripture is from the New Living Translation, second edition. I'd like us all to read together. It should be up over here. So I'd like us all to read together loud so that that we can make this declaration in the spiritual realm. Can we say amen? That the demons and principalities and powers and the rulers of the forces of darkness in the heavenly realms can hear the truth of God's word this morning. That's why it's important that we make our voices heard when we speak the word of God this morning. So please read with me. He makes the whole body fit together. Whoa, stop. So we can do way, way, way better than that. Let's start again. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Let's just pray over the message this morning. Father, we thank you for the blessing and privilege of being able to get together as your people. Jesus, this is not a past time. Dis nie een van ons stokperdjies of die goed wat ons mee besig hou om die tyd te laat verbygaan. We're here for a specific purpose and a reason. We're here to meet with the living God. Lord, we open our hearts and our minds, Heilige Gees, sodat U met elke een van ons sal praat. Gee dan vir ons die spesifieke ietsie wat elke persoon nodig het vandag om 'n goddelike verskil te kan maak in hulle lewens. We thank you for the privilege of being able to get together around your word. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts this morning. Speak into our lives and change us and help us grow into the people of God that you've destined us to be. To the praise and glory of your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Our theme is His people, His purpose. And if you've missed out on last week, I want to encourage you to catch up online, have a listen to it, meditate on the scriptures. And as Dion so rightly said, if you want to get a little bit more into the details of it, make sure you get into a care group where you can unpack the word. But to recap, last week we focused on the building material that God uses. We spoke about the importance of using the right building material. And the mysterious, beautiful thing is that God uses flawed building material. Building material that is faulty. Building material that is broken. Building material that is messed up. We discussed the encouraging concept that God uses and is busy using messed up people like you and like me to build His kingdom and to build His body. That's very, very encouraging. Because if you know anything about building, and I know nothing about building, is that you want to select materials that are going to last and that achieve the specific purpose. Bou materiaal moet reg wees, and yet God uses messed up people like us. We looked at the fact that God wants to use fast Christians. How many of you can remember what a fast Christian is? Speak to me, church. A combination of all of those things that you just mumbled under your breath. God wants to use fast Christians. Fast is an acronym for faithful, available, submitted, and teachable. And that's what we looked at last week. And this week we're going to focus on this verse a little bit more and see the important aspects of God's building process as we focus on His people and His purpose. It's great to see you all here. For the folks watching online, great to have you. Trust that God is going to minister to you wherever you are at. Reinhard, Kayla, verskriklik lekker om julle te sien. It's so good to see you. And Andre, our guest drummer. If I'd known that Andre was the drummer, I wouldn't have squeezed his hand so hard. He's got a job to do, but it's great to have you guys visiting. And for the first time visitors, we trust that you feel welcome and right at home here this morning. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I just ask that you guys at the back just get that timer started for me, please, that I can just gauge how long I keep us busy this morning. It says He. It's important that God is the one that's busy with this building process. You see, God invented the concept of the church. Now, all you need to do to become discouraged and to get offended is to come to church. All you need to do to get discouraged and become offended is to come to church. Because baie mense kom by 'n nuwe kerk aan en dis jy gaan deur hierdie honeymoon fase. Everything is just lekker until life happens. Until you find out that in that church there are imperfect, messed up people just like you. And you see, the church has made many, many mistakes over the thousands of years since it's been growing. And guess what? It's going to continue to make mistakes. But it is still the vessel that God has chosen to bring about His purposes on this earth. There is no other thing or phenomenon. We apologize for the sound we're experimenting this morning, okay? There is no other aspect or phenomenon or something else that's going to be better. You see, I think a lot of people get discouraged. They think they're going to find this perfect church. Well, there might be that perfect church out there, but as soon as you get there, it's no longer perfect. And Louis shares the story about this dude that's on an island. And he comes, he's on this island, he's on his own for several years, and then there's three little huts that he's built out of the raw material on the island, palm trees and bamboo and bushes, and there's three little buildings there. And he's on his own. There's no other people. And he's managed to survive. Eventually, a rescue ship happens to be in the area, and they see this island, they investigate, and they find this dude on this island. And they start talking to him about how he survived, and what he lived on, and what did he eat, and how did he look after himself, and what has happened. And then they ask him, well, kan jy dan vir ons verduidelik, hoekom is daar drie hutte hierso? He says, yeah, that hut over there is where I stay. And so that's great, you've done well. And then they see the second hut, and they ask him, what's that hut? He says, no, that's my church. That's the church I go to. And they say, that's great, that's wonderful. And the third hut, he says, no, that's the church I used to go to. Hy's op sy eie mense. Daar's niemand anders te daarso wat deur wie hy kan aanstoot neem nie, of wat hom kan omkrap, or doesn't do something that they were supposed to do, or does something that they weren't supposed to do. En selfs hy het 'n issue gehad met sy eerste kerk. And it was like, no, I'm leaving this church, I'm going to another church. I want to encourage you with this extract from a book written by Rick Warren. So what you understand where Rick Warren is in his life right now, you just shelf that, but listen to the truth of this. This is from the book that he wrote called The Purpose-Driven Life. And it comes out of the topic called Protecting Your Church. It's devotion day number 21 from this book, and I'm quoting. It says, it's easy to become discouraged by the gap between the ideal and the real in your church. Yet we must passionately love the church in spite of its imperfections. Longing for the ideal while criticizing the real is evidence of immaturity. On the other hand, settling for the real without striving for the ideal is complacency. Maturity is living with attention. You see, we have this idea that this ideal idea of church. And then we come to church and we see life happens. And we see this church that I thought was ideal, it's really like this. And when we realize the gap between the ideal and the real, it's easy for the devil to come and discourage us. But folks, I want to reiterate this point. It is still the vessel that God has chosen for him to build and establish his kingdom here on earth. Point number two, that scripture says, fit together perfectly. Fit together perfectly. I don't believe that the church, in its current state on the earth, was ever meant to be perfect. It can't be, because God has chosen people to be that building, to be that church. Here's God himself, manifest in a human body called Jesus. All the anointing, all the gifts, all the fruit of the Spirit, all the wisdom, all the knowledge is all there in one person at one time. And even Jesus had issues in the church that he was busy building. You see, what makes a church? I submit to you this concept. If there's 12 families represented, what do you have? A church. Jesus called 12 disciples. If there's 12 families represented, you have a church. And Jesus called 12 disciples. And even amongst those that he called, they had an issue with each other. They were fighting and bickering amongst each other about who's going to be the greatest. So guess what? Jesus' church, so to speak, then, that he was managing and overseeing and pastoring, wasn't perfect. You can see that in Luke 9 and verse 46. But God puts it together in his special way. The fact that we're growing in love and understanding towards each other makes it perfect. You see that? It is growing in love and understanding towards each other. It is a process. It is continuing all the time as we allow God to work in our lives. That makes it perfect. That's the way God intended it to be. So it says, he fits it together perfectly. Fit together perfectly. So many people become discouraged when they realize that there's imperfect people in the church like them. Then it says, each part. Each part. It's not often that I get to church as early as I'd like to, because stuff happens in the morning. I've got to put on makeup and do my hair. And just kidding. I don't have makeup. I now desperately need it. But stuff happens. But this morning, I was here particularly early to do some sound checks. And as you can see, I didn't get it right. But we're working towards that. And I had longer time in the pre-service prayer meeting than what I normally have. And I was so encouraged to one by one see the people arrive and just do what they do. I was so encouraged to be part of this living organism called God's church. As people just come and stuff happens. Because folks, this gathering is about what God is busy doing. It's not something that we can do to tick off a to-do list on a Sunday and then gaan aan met die res van ons lewens. For some people, it's like that. But I was encouraged in my heart this morning as the people of God were getting together and just doing church, to be part of this living organism. Each part is important. There's a place in the body or local church for everyone that God sends to that local church. Nobody is unnecessary. Perhaps you've rocked up here and you've been coming for a while now. You started off as a visitor and something captured your attention and you like what happens here. And you see people doing things and you think, oh, well, that's all covered. What role can I play here? I want to encourage you with this. That if God has sent you to this body, you have a role to play in this body. And if you're visiting here from another church and you're committed and involved in that church, God has a role and a function for you to play in that church. And each part does its share. It's okay to come to church expecting to receive something. But folks, I don't believe it must stop there. You see, ek weet nie van julle nie, maar ek het kerk toe begin gaan as gevolg van 'n behoefte in my lewe. Ek het rigting nodig gehad. Ek het 'n doel nodig gehad in my lewe. Ek het geestelike kos nodig gehad. Ek het openbaring van die Here nodig gehad. Ek het samesyn van die gelowiges benodig in my lewe. That's why I started coming to church, because I needed something. But it can't stop there. It's okay to come to church expecting to receive. But I believe it's more important to come to church being willing to give. That's what church is. Says each part does its share. That's just the way the kingdom of God works. In Acts 20 and verse 35, it says, "And remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" That's why I believe it's more important to come with an expectancy to give. Yes, it's okay to expect to receive, but come with an expectancy to give and to play the part. So the question is, are you doing so? What role and what part are you playing in your church that you consider your church? That's a question between you and the Lord. Point number four. That verse says, own special work. Own special work. While it's important to follow the example of leaders and godly men and women that we can look up to and follow, please don't try and be like them. God knows that the last thing the world needs is another mozzie. I can't handle myself a lot of the times. So please don't try and be another me or another Billy Graham or another Oral Roberts or another Catherine Kuhlman or another whoever. Do you. Do you. We have to. It's scriptural to follow the example of our leaders. I'll give you many scriptures for that. But do you. Don't try and be that person. Because the same gifting in you will work differently through you as that same gifting will work through another person, because that person is themselves and you are you. My encouragement is to go before God and say, "Lord, what is my own special work? What is it that God has called me to do?" Be the best you that you can be. You've been called by God to do something specific. Are you doing it? That's another question for yourself and God. You've been called by God to do something specific, to play a specific role. Are you doing it? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're watching online, and you're thinking, "Mozzie, I just wish you would get this over with, because God isn't even answering my prayers. I'm praying and praying, and God isn't answering my prayer." Okay? I want to ask you this then. What have you done about the last thing that God has told you to do? Have you been obedient? Because why must God answer a prayer when you haven't been obedient to something that He's already told you to do, wat jy nog nie gedoen het nie? I'm just saying. Oftentimes people speak about unity, and rightly so. We strive and live for unity within the body of Christ, because the Bible teaches that God commands blessing where there's unity. You can read that in Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3. But I want to tell you another place this morning, my brother, my sister, where God commands blessing. We want blessing, so we strive for unity so that there can be blessing. You know where there's another place of blessing? Obedience. Obedience. Are you being obedient to what God has already told you to do? Dan wonder jy miskien hoekom my Here maar my gebede word nie geantwoord nie. My question to you this morning is, what have you done about the last thing that God has told you to do? So many times Christians start growing and they get a word from the Lord, or a prophet comes and hy gee vir jou groot woord. Ek het 'n woord gekry van die Here, en die Here sê, jy gaan die doen, en jy gaan die doen, en jy gaan dit bereik, jy gaan die bereik, en is wonderlik, dit is so. We must dream big, and the call of God on our lives must be so challenging and so stretching that we think, "Wow, you know, that's impossible," because then it might not be from God, and it's good. But God tests our obedience with the small little things first. Die eerste treekie van geloof, that first step of faith. What are you doing about the role that God wants you to do? your own special work in the church that he's called you to do. And please don't look around you and think, well, everything works like a well-oiled war machine over here. Fear not. We have more than enough work for you to do. Some of you didn't say amen, and that's fine. But as long as you consider yourself part of the body of Christ, God has his own special work for you. Point number five, it helps the others grow. See, the church is a living organism. It's supposed to be growing. A challenging thought this morning. If you look back on your life, let's say, dat was nie ek nie, ek dink nie so nie. Ek hoop nie so nie. Ish. If you look back on your life a week ago, have you grown in your life since the last word that you received from the Lord? Let's make it a little bit easier. A month ago. A month ago, we were busy on a different theme, a different topic, different sermon series. Now we're on another one. Have you grown since then? Let's take it a year ago. Spiritually, when it comes to the things of God in your life, have you grown from where you were 1 year ago? See, folks, because if we're not growing, hoekom doen ons dit wat ons doen op 'n Sondag en in die week by die omgeegroepe, the care groups? If we're not growing, we're missing something. We're supposed to be growing. And it's important that we're growing. The scripture says, so your involvement, as each one does his own special work, helps the other parts grow. We should all be growing in two specific areas in our lives. The first one is the gifts and the talents, or the talents or the abilities that God has given you. And the second area of growth is the fruit of the Spirit. So, a gift, a talent is something that God gives you that you can work on. Some people are born with more talent than others. Some people go to the shopping malls to look for talent. But God gives you, some of you are laughing and chuckling, you scream, yeah, ons was allemaal daar, dalk is jy nou nog daar. Ek weet nie. But God gives you something so that you can work on it and develop it and grow it. So when it comes to growth, we should be growing in two areas, our gifting and the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible gives three lists for different giftings. It's Romans 12, Corinthians 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. You can study that in your own time. Romans 12, verse 6 to 8. Read the whole of 1 Corinthians and then Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Three lists in the Bible that mentions the different giftings. And our involvement in church must primarily be focused on sacrificial giving. I think that is not preached enough. Sacrificial giving. Most of the popular messages that are preached today is live your best life here and now and experience the abundance of approximately 8,000 promises in the Scripture here and now. It's just blessing and blessing and blessing, and it's good, and there's a time and a place for all of that. But I think so seldom we hear the truth that Christianity, in essence, folks, we're called to a life of sacrificial giving. You see, we're called to live like Jesus. How did Jesus live? He laid down his life so that we can have life. And that's what church life is about. Ons kom na 'n gemeente toe met baie, baie behoeftes en tekortkominge. Eendag as ek groot word, sal ek daai Afrikaanse woord reg kan uitspreek. What she says. Ons kom na gemeente toe met al hierdie behoeftes in ons lewens. And little bit by little, we let God build into our lives and we grow and we mature. And it comes to the point where then what we've so freely received, we must be willing to freely give. You see, there's this phenomenon in human nature. There's Peter, James, and John. They met Jesus up on the Mount of Configuration. They met Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Moses representing the law, all that's written in the law. Elijah representing all that's written in the prophets. And then Jesus, the fulfillment and the culmination of those two. There's Peter, James, and John. En die samesyn daar, en die fellowship, het so lekker geraak. Peter besluit sommer toe, hey Jesus, let's have a rally, yeah. Let's pitch some tents that we can park off here and just enjoy, because this is a lekker jaw. Ons wil hier bly. I mean, imagine that. There's Jesus, and there's Moses, and Elijah. I'd have questions for those boys, let me tell you something. And there's Jesus, and he's glowing in all this beautiful radiance, white splendor like they'd never seen before. And Peter says, kom ons bly net hier. And God says, this is my beloved son, hear him. Take the law, take the prophets, but listen to Jesus, hear him. And guess what? Jesus says, he tunes his oaks, don't tell anybody what you saw on the mountain. Don't tell anybody what you experienced. They had to get from that wonderful place back down into the demon-infested valley of real life and do life just like us. There where the tire meets the tar, they had to go back down. And sometimes we experience church life and it's this euphoric state of, ah, oh, this is so lekker, hallelujah. Folks, we get filled to pour ourselves out, to be emptied again, to get filled to pour ourselves out, to be emptied again, to get, are you getting it? That's what church life is about. Maybe you started your journey with Jesus and your Christian walk and it was just like, it was like Peter, James, and John there up on the mountain and it's Jesus and it's holiness and it's just wonderful. And then you had to come back down into the valley of real life where there's challenges, where there's issues, where there's the devil, where there's people. And you've become discouraged. My encouragement to you is that God has called us to a life of sacrificial service. That's church life. So when it speaks about growth, we're called to grow in two areas. Our talents and our abilities, and then the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23 lists the fruit of the Spirit there. Those are the areas in which we should be growing through our involvement in our local church. The next point, Ephesians 4:16 speaks about this whole thing being healthy. God's people being healthy. And the series that we finished previously was Spirit, Soul, and Body, and we spoke at length about being healthy in spirit, in soul, and in body. For any person to be healthy, we need to be eating the right food, and we also need to be exercising regularly. Some people have a friend called Jim, and some people don't like Jim at all. They don't like this guy called Jim. But your body needs exercise. I spend way too much time in front of electronic screens because all my Bibles are on there, all the study material, all the programs, and it's just, so I have to do other stuff to keep myself. I wish I had a job that involved physical hard labor. I'd love that kind of thing. But God has called me to other stuff. So to be healthy, you need to eat properly. You need to also exercise. And the same thing applies to your Christian life and to the church. The church needs to be exercising. We need to receive the true Word of God and be sharing the true Word of God. It's twofold. You need to be receiving the true Word of God and to be sharing the true Word of God. So many people trapped in a place of confusion by the devil, hulle bevraagteken soveel en regverdig so, because they want to know, well, how do you know the Bible that I'm reading, is it the real Word of God, because it's been changed so many times, how do I know that that oak is preaching the truth, because this one says left and the other one says right, this one says you must jump and the other one says you must, who weet ons? Well, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, once man has said everything he has to say, we need the person of the Holy Spirit to lead us in truth. We need an intimate relationship with the person of Jesus because he said he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. At the end of the day, wanneer almal hulle sê gesê het and all the chips are down and the fat lady is saying and her cousins and everything's done, You need the discernment of the person of the Holy Spirit to lead you in truth all the time. All the time. So in your search for the truth, my encouragement to people is this. If you're really, really hungering and thirsting after the truth, you will find it. Because God says, if you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. You've seen, he's done a verskil. You get people that shop for counsel. What does it mean? Ladies, help me out here. You shop for something. And men, you know what it's like when you're shopping for something to do with bikes or your stokperkie or whatever it is that floats your boat. You shop and you do your research and you look around and you find out the best that you can get, the best bang for your buck. You try to get the best value for money or something that's going to last, something that's going to serve you well. And so many people are like that when it comes to Christian things. They're not looking for God's counsel, where God speaks into life. They're shopping for counsel. They go from person to person to person, to church to church to church, until they hear what they want to hear. And then they say, you see, he agrees with me, she agrees with me. It's a dangerous place to be. God encourages us, and he says that if you search for the truth with all your heart, you will find him. And that's my encouragement to you. However, if you're at a place where they're preaching that something that's completely unscriptural, then say die Here jou daar geplaas het om 'n radikale verskil te maak van binne en af, nee. Vat jou goed en waai. Gaan na 'n plek toe waar hulle die waarheid van die woord preek en jy kry die oortuiging daarvan deur die Heilige Gees in jou gees. En jy sien dit daarso tussen Genesis en Maps. Now, here's the deal. Are there incorrect and false translations out there? Yes. But can we pull the wool over God's eyes? Can God be bluffed? Dink jy ons is so slim that people say this, they say, and I need us to understand, I'm taking a bit of time on this morning, but we're not trying to rush through a sermon, 7-point sermon. Amen? We're trying to learn something this morning. People say, oh, the Word of God has been changed. Really? Can we change the Word of God? Do you think because some jerk prints something in a book that's not written the way it was in all the ancient manuscripts and the multitude of documentation and evidence that's been found, you think we can come along and change what God has said? Folks, that concept of God's word has been changed is false. We can't change the word of God. The word of God will always be the word of God. And when you submit yourself to his leadership and his guidance and his leading in your life, the Spirit of God will always lead you to his truth. He'll always give you, mits jy bereid is om te hoor en te luister, and jy's teachable, he'll always lead you to scriptures that have been misprinted and not true and isn't true and correct. And at the end of the day, mense, I don't have a physical Bible here. Maar daai ding, that Bible, some people, they won't write in it, they won't touch it. It's like, die boek is heilig. No, it's not. The God who it describes is holy. The Jesus who it describes is holy. Dit was ek gewees. What was I going to say? Some people treat that book as if it's holy, and yet they're not living holy lives. Really? Like seriously? That book is a love letter from a living God that just wants to show you and tell you, this is who I am and this is how I am. So jy mag krap in jou Bybel. Jy mag skryf in jou Bybel. As daar gedeeltes is van die skrif wat jy nie van hou nie, jy kan daai bladsy uitskeer. Sê nee, dis nie van toepassing. That thing about forgiveness, tear it out. You're still not going to change the word of God. He still said that you must forgive like he has forgiven us. You're not going to change the word of God. So to be healthy, we must make sure that we're receiving the true word of God, but also giving the true word of God. This involves spiritual exercise. And we can achieve both these things by always making sure that we preach the truth of the Scriptures and by sharing the truth of the Scriptures with other people. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. So it's important that we correctly explain the word of truth. Point number 7. It says in Ephesians 4:16 that we must be full of love. There was a time, a couple of themes ago, we spoke about the love chapter from 1 Corinthians 13. And we spent many, many weeks on it. And I believe at the end of the day, it's one of the essential elements of what people should encounter when they come to a church. We know that what happens in the first 11 minutes of a service determines whether a first-time visitor will come back or not. Many things have been said and learned from this, and we've studied many things. I wonder, if it's your first time at this church today, hoe's jou ervaring so ver? Were you greeted warmly? Did you find at least one person smiling? Were you made to feel welcome? Did you feel that it's a place of love? Or did you feel it's a place of die mense kyk jou op en af van kop tot toon? Check of jy aanvaarbaar is? Folks, these are real issues. You see, when you hear, it's like a piece of jewelry or a necklace that you have or a watch or something. Jy dra daai ding so lank, jy neem dit vanselfsprekend, you don't even pay attention to it anymore. There's things that happen, yeah, that we get used to. But for a first timer, you know what I believe God's heart's desire is for Bikers Church and CMA in the Vol Triangle? Is that the overwhelming feeling or the lasting impression that somebody goes home with after encountering us for the first time is the love of a living God. I believe that's God's heart for what He wants to do in and through all of us. That when a first-time visitor comes, daai ietsie wat hulle dan huis toe vat, when they tell other people, waar was jy? Nee, by die kerk. Wat? Jy was kerk toe Sondag? Ja, ek was kerk toe. O, waar was jy? Daai plek. Oh, and what was it like? What are they going to tell other people? What are they going to say to other people? I'm holding back this morning. But we'll get to this at a later stage. Nothing worthwhile in life comes easy, including worthwhile relationships. Nothing worthwhile in life comes easy and is cheap, including worthwhile relationships. Shallow relationships are cheap and a dime a dozen. Sometimes people experience fast, sporadic growth like mushrooms. How many of you have ever gone into your garden and planted mushroom seeds because you want to see mushrooms the next morning? Maybe you do that because maybe you like mushrooms. Yeah. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But you don't need to plant mushroom seeds, man. I don't particularly like gardening. My thinking is that God kicked Adam out of the garden and ek het geen begeerte om terug te gaan. So if you love gardening, I'm glad for you. That's great and it's wonderful. I love a beautiful garden, and there's something special about feeling the soil between your toes and getting the soil under your fingernails, and it really is lekker, but that's just not my cup of tea. But in my garden, there's mushrooms. Hulle is oornag daar. And so many relationships are like that. They just like come up and then they're gone. They're 6 miles wide, but not even 6 millimeters deep. You see, folks, the relationships that last and that are worthwhile take time and effort and hard work and care and nurturing and attention to detail. It takes effort, including love in a church. It's not just going to happen. You see, even though we all love Jesus and it's just like as wonderlike mensen, we have differences of values. We have differences of opinions. We come from different backgrounds. We're the product and the end result of life experiences and the choices that we have made up until now. Where you seated this morning, you are a direct result of choices that you have made. Moet asseblief nie victim mentaliteit speel met my nie and say, ja, but Mozzie, my mom and my dad that was there or wasn't there, or the this and the that, or die omstandighede, of my werk, of my werkgever, of my werknemer, of die die and die die. Yes, all of that has an influence on you, but at the end of the day, the buck stops here. We are an end result of the choices that we have made. And when it comes to love in the church, nothing worthwhile comes easy. And it's going to require hard work all the time to nurture and protect. And if you want relationship and friendship with others, you must pursue it. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. This is one of my favorite lines. Leonard, come up here, my brother. I meet somebody at a place I'm at. Say, hi, my name is Mozzie. We like you, my so far. Thank you. You may take a seat. And I said that to somebody that used to fellowship at this church. But now fellowships at another hut. And I said to him, hi, my name is Mozzie. We like you, my so far. And he was just as sharp, sharper than me. He said, yeah, ek weet nie, ons sal maar kyk. If you want relationship with others, you must pursue it. You must pursue it. Where do I get that from? Well, the Bible says so. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. And when it comes to love, whether this is, the Bible speaks about four kinds of love. Eros, storge, phileo, and agape. I'm not going to teach on that this morning. This is not the time for that. But when it comes to love in your life, love in and amongst whoever you love in your life, whether it's between spouse, family, friends, siblings, parents, children, colleagues, the lost world, your church family, listen to this. Unless love has become a reality vertically, it will never become a reality horizontally. What do I mean by that? Unless you've experienced and live in Christ's unconditional love for you, you will never be able to give unconditional love to others. Unless you realize how much Jesus Christ loves you, you won't be able to love yourself. I don't mean in a vain way, but loving you for who you are in God's eyes. Unless you've experienced the love of Christ for yourself, it will be near impossible for you to give love. It will also be very difficult for you to receive love. Some people have been hurt so much in life that when people show them kindness and unconditional love, with no motive, hulle is onmiddellik agterdogtig, suspicious, or what do you want? What's your motive? Why are you so friendly? Wat glimlag jy so? Kry jou tande warm? Why? Folks, that comes from hurt. That comes from people disappointing you. That comes from church leaders letting you down. That comes from the devil lying to you. So this thing called love, we call to be a people that is full of love. God's building material is His people. I'm going to close off with this thought. It's of an amazing encouragement to me, and we said it last week, that God is willing to use messed up people like you and me to build His people for His purpose. How many of you have heard of the Rolling Stones? How many of you have never heard of the Rolling Stones? Be honest. Wow. That's okay. It's okay. Shalane, it's fine. That's fine. It's more important that she understands. As a youngster, it's more important that she understands that she is a living stone than the fact that she doesn't know who the Rolling Stones are. So what? They had a time and a season, and God bless them wherever they are. But how are the Rolling Stones going to have a lasting effect on your eternal destiny? Nada. Zilch. Zero. Diddly squat. But when you come to understand the truth that you are a living stone, where do I get that from? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And I'm done with the scriptures as the deep end comes up. And you are living stones that God is building into His spiritual temple. And what's more, you are His holy priests through the mediation of Jesus Christ. You offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. You're living stones, my brother, my sister. God's people for His purpose. To recap those 7 points quickly, it's all from that verse. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. He's the one busy doing it. It's God's idea. In spite of the church's imperfections, it fits together perfectly. The fact that we're not okay is okay. We're growing in love and understanding towards each other. Each part, we have a role to play. You have a role to play. Each part has his or her own special work. The fifth point helps the others grow. The essence of Christianity is it's okay to come to church expecting to receive, but we need to grow to the point where we are willing to give of ourselves to others as we live a life of sacrificial giving. Point number six, this body needs to be healthy. It will require that we receive the word of truth and give the word of truth, and that we exercise, that we do something with the words that we receive, and then that we live full of love as God continuously builds into our lives. I trust that this has challenged you and stirred you this morning, and we'd be doing each other an injustice if we don't apply this to our lives. So those 7 points, where do you fit with that? The questions that we asked, what are you doing about what God has told you to do the last time? What role and contribution are you making to a local body in your area? Maybe you feel at a place this morning where you can't be used because of the past or whatever. I want to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell. The blood of Jesus can cleanse us of our past and set us free, make us new creations in Jesus Christ. I want to pray with you this morning. If the Spirit of God has been tugging at your heart and you realize, I need to get involved somehow, somewhere. I think the timing of this message could not have been more perfect. Today we're having a membership day after the service. Maybe you didn't put your name on the list at the back, but if you're sitting here and you realize this date, I need to get involved, and the Spirit of God has spoken to you, make sure that you stay straight after the service. We're going to have a membership day, and you let God speak into your heart and see if He wants you involved here. I've said this many times before. Aksukioni en erikarkni. You need to go where God is sending you to get involved. You can be the best you that you can be for His purpose. Let's worship the Lord together one more time. We close off in prayer. Pray the blessing of God over each other. Thank you. Over to the deep end.